Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Radio Z Hour, an interactive talk show celebrating the written word. Presented by the Zahme Publishing Press, www.zahme.com. That's ZHARMAE.com.
Hello, hello, everybody. It's your host, Alicia, here on this beautifully torturous summer afternoon. It is Sunday, July 19th, 2015, and it is really hot. It is in the mid-90s here in the Seattle area. It is definitely hot, and with no air conditioning, I am suffering today. Luckily, though, I get to find some relief by distracting myself with the world's greatest radio show, The Written Word. Don't quote me on that. It's not a fact, but I'm pretty sure it's pretty accurate. I mean, statistically, we're probably the world's greatest radio show. But I have not fact-checked. That's just my opinion. If you haven't already, please like us on Facebook. Now, we have a little bit more incentive for you to like us on Facebook, our Zahme pages. We have we're giving away a free book tomorrow on Smashwords. There will be a super special secret only for likers link posted on the Facebook page at midnight tonight. You will have to like us on Facebook in order to get access to that link. And then you can get your 100% off coupon for a free copy of The Magic Man. You will have to like us on Facebook, though. The Radio Z Facebook page is facebook.com/TZPPRadioZ. Or you can just type in Radio Space Z in the search box, and we are hyphen the written word. Radio Z hyphen the written word. That is me. And if you get there, you'll see our fancy logo. And then you can hit that like button. And then at midnight tonight or first thing tomorrow morning, as soon as you can get back onto the Radio Z page, Facebook page, you will see the link and get your free ebook. Today's episode of Radio Z, the written word, is the artist show. We were going to have two artists on. Unfortunately, one had to cancel. So we will be exclusively interviewing our artist named Star. Love her name. Totally jealous of it. Wish my mom had named me Star. But I was given a relatively normal name. But she should be here in about 2 minutes. And we will talk all about her as an artist, her passion for art, why she became an artist, and her work that she does with Zahme and other books and bookish things. Of course, all I can think about in respect for art right now is ice sculptures and how I wish my room was one. Oh, man, it is very, very hot. If you haven't already, please check out firstbreezefirst.com. That's me, this is E. You know, I'm always telling you to go to First Breeze First, but you really, really should. If you're bored, don't scroll through your Facebook and read all your Facebook statuses, all your friend stuff, all that nonsense that's on there, all those memes that are facts that actually aren't facts. Go to firstreadfirst.com, that's Read This Is E, and read first chapters from some amazing Zahme books. Maybe you'll find your next favorite book or favorite author while you're scrolling through there.
Also, please check out LloydMovieReviews.com, L-L-O-Y-D, Movie Reviews. We push them every time because they're awesome, in case I haven't told you before. First Reads First and Lloyd Movie Reviews, and there you go. That's all you need in your bookmark. And, of course, the Radio Z page, the Facebook page, and the Blog Talk Radio. And then there, you're like, complete. And our first and, I guess, only guest now, first guest has arrived. Hello.
Hello.
Are you there?
I'm Hi. Here. You're tough to hear. Sorry.
Would you like to introduce yourself for the audience?
Sure. I'm Starfoos. I am the lead senior graphic designer for all of Darmay Simpson.
Awesome. So of all the people that we could have had on today, you're definitely the one.
Yeah, I guess so. I do touch every cover that leaves.
Are you there?
I am.
Oh, you cut out for a second.
Oh.
Might have been me. You talk. I don't know what's happening. My laptop is reheated already today, once, so, or not reheated, overheated.
Oh, that's never good.
So, might be my phone. It's burning my face, so. Oh, man, I got to get some AC. So, how did you come to be an artist?
Oh,
where did it start?
I'm pretty sure I was born that way.
Great answer. Can you elaborate
on this? I was always making something, I pretty much experimented with every medium that I could as a small child. My dad was, he makes boats, but on the side, he pretty much does a lot of creative work. So it started at a very early age, and by the time I was in high school, I was pretty much only doing art. So,
you say many different mediums as a child. Can you go into detail, a little bit of detail about that? What specifically did you use? I mean, you said everything.
I started with just drawing and went into painting. I've done a lot of sculpture, jewelry, graffiti. I pretty much haven't. I can't say that there's much that I haven't done. Through high school, I was mainly photography. I also at a very young age worked with photography. I made pinhole cameras and shot with 110 film and Polaroids, and I wasted a lot of Polaroid film as a child, which was expensive in the 80s. From there, a lot of jewelry. And then when I got into college, I really specialized it in film photography and graphic design. And they've all just kind of melded together later in life. So I'm able to use all of them, which is what.
So you didn't have one specific thing that you did, like a lot of artists that I know just strictly drew until they got older and were kind of forced to branch off into other things, but you just your only passion was just art. It was just creating something out of anything.
Yeah, just creating in general, and it's still that way. I mean, I in my spare time, which there certainly isn't a lot of, with guys, I'm also a senior designer for a company that makes and creates art for hotels and hospitals and residential projects and And then all of my covers, you know, in my spare time, I do a lot of hand lettering. I do a ton of photography. I watercolor. I acrylic paint. I have done some, you know, wood carving, sculptures. I still try to do as much as I can creatively. That's within my realm.
Wow. So, how did you end up? I guess I should probably back up. Did you go to college for art?
I did. I went to the Columbus College of Art and Design.
Oh, okay.
That's it. It's Columbus, Ohio. It's a very good school. They also are very big in emphasizing that you don't necessarily specialize immediately. Your first year and a half, 2 years, you're really covering the basics of as many aspects as you can, and then in your last 2 years, then you really break into specializing into the area that you're most strongly drawn to. I mean, I did animation, mm-hmm. Video, film, everything. So
here's a question for you. When you went to art school, did you find it challenging to have somebody tell you how to make art?
Yes and no. I will say that the biggest aspect of it for me was, in all honesty, for like 4 years after college, I didn't touch art at all. I was burnt out. A lot of times you're molded into what your professors want to see, and you sort of lose your artistic vision. And mm-hmm. I was definitely burnt out, and I had to just kind of step back. And once I stepped back, I guess it's almost like a longing to create again. You know, you find yourself back to it.
Mm-hmm. Because that's what I always wonder with creatives going to school. You know, like it's, for me, I write. I don't really do art. I try, but I'm really terrible at it. and the one thing that I find is that I always ended up, even in high school, arguing with my instructors about how I write, because I always used you at the beginning of a sentence, the word you, or whatever, and people hated that, and there were certain things that I did that I feel made me more communicative and gave me a better voice as a writer, and mm-hmm. like and at the beginning of a sentence, and yeah, I spoke to my audience a lot more than my instructors felt was necessary, but I actually had one teacher who actually agreed with me and said that I was speaking to her and that I should never, ever listen to the rules, because that's not what writing is about. Favorite teacher.
I think that's huge, especially, you know, in any creative realm. You know, it comes down to, like, the being taught the technical aspects, and then once you know the technical aspects, then you break them as they fit for you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every good rule needs to be broken, so.
Pretty much, right? I agree with that. So how did you said that you actually have a job with a company making art for hotel chains. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Hotels, hospitals, everything.
How did you come across that kind of work?
I responded to a Craigslist ad. The company was actually searching for someone with art framing knowledge, which I had from a previous job when I was in college. And I started there, and they realized that my skill set far went beyond what position they had put me in, and so I sort of created my own little area.
That's good, though. That's what you need, absolutely. Right, as a creative.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
So how did you end up hooking up with Zarme? Did you ever do any bookish kind of design before you met us, or...
No, actually, it is something that I wanted to do. It's always been something that I wanted to do. I'm a big book nerd, but I actually came to you all because of Emma Jansen, the author. We actually went to high school together and have been very good friends for a long time. And we started talking about her first book, and she knew that you guys were needing some design help, and it's all pretty much history from there.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
So, yeah, so about a year and a half now.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
So you're kind of juggling two jobs then. Does that end up taking up a lot of your time?
You could say that, yeah.
You know, because you happen to have two jobs that you love, or, you know, doing art.
I do, and the doing art helps, and the fact that I do both of them remotely is very helpful.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah, because I live in Ohio, and you guys are pretty much all, well, mainly West Coast, and my other position is based in Florida.
So, do you find any differences between, when you first started working with Zarme and doing book cover designs and that kind of related designs, did you find any challenges or differences between the art that you're used to doing?
They're 100% different. I will definitely say that. My position with the company that I work for is like a threefold sort of position. I'm their graphic designer, so I do all of our print ad work for magazines, catalogs, brochures, flyers, artists. So I make art that actually gets framed and hung all over the place. And then I'm also a signed artist with them, so I paint for, you know, commission projects, and I do photography and everything. So that in itself, it's, you know, wearing a lot of hats in the same position, but it's what makes me best at that position. The aspect of doing the book cover, like I said, it's something that I've really always wanted to do. I'm very critical of book covers. I spend lots and lots of time in bookstores. I actually spent about 6 years of my life during college and after college working for a major book retailer. And in all honesty, at the very beginning, I was fairly certain that I hated it and I would not want to continue doing it after about my first, say, 4 or 5 covers. It's sort of very rigid. You're put into this box. Here's your art. You have to make the art look good, but you have to, you know, very well display out what you're trying to get your audience to understand just from that one picture. And I didn't feel like I really had a lot of creative freedom with that until I started really expanding what I did on each cover by integrating a lot of my covers are actually all hand lettered. They're not fonts that come from, you know, any number of design related programs. I actually sit and draw my covers first.
Oh, wow.
And then from there, I work through the digitizing process and then get them all on the cover. And then I've also now expanded, and I'm doing full covers as well. I'm doing art and design.
So when presented with a the task of designing a book cover, doing the art for a book cover, do you read the book, or do you read like a couple paragraphs of the book or anything like that to get a feel for what you're drawing? Do you talk to the author? How does that work?
I'm typically given just a synopsis from the editor, and I go from there. I will say that one of my best covers, which would be Emma Jansen's most recent novel, Discovering Sanity, that I had a lot of insight on the story, which really helped the art and design process. I think actually knowing the most about the story helps in the whole process, but it doesn't always work that way because the art and design is typically started really early in the process.
Mm-hmm. So do you normally talk with just the editor, or do you talk to the author as well?
The editor, typically. Obviously, the Emma Jansen, it's a different situation because of our history, so it actually made for a really excellent cover.
Mm-hmm. So do you ever have it sent back and you have to redo it?
I will say that I'm very fortunate in I've had very few covers ever sent back.
Mm.
And they're typically not like a complete redo. They're usually just, a move of this or a change of this or a color, you know, something that maybe wasn't necessarily discussed, you know, like an idea that wasn't sent through the chain that I didn't get. But no, I've actually... To this point, I think I've only redone one cover completely. And
well,
I've done a lot of covers. I hope so. I certainly hope so.
Well, at the very least, you have a good understanding of what is needed to be done.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I definitely agree with that. And it does. It's, you know, just when you look at, like, the design basics of, you know, how a cover needs laid out, you know. And honestly, sometimes it's harder when I'm provided with artwork for, we'll say, like, 80% of the covers that I do, I'm provided with the artwork. So I work with, you know, the strong points of the cover art and design from there.
Programs do you use for your art? Do you have like a favorite? Like, do you use Illustrator?
Oh, I pretty much use them all. I use Photoshop, I use Illustrator, I use InDesign, I use Painter. I use them all together. They're all fairly interchangeable, being that Adobe likes to make their products so that they're so... They have inner usability.
Mm-hmm. So what is your favorite part of, well, I guess what you do for Zarme?
What's my favorite cover that I did do?
No, your favorite part of your job with Zarme. Like, you have, you know, several different responsibilities. Is there anything that you just absolutely love to do? Yeah, I mean, besides, you know, the entire job.
I will say that I just prefer the creative aspects. I really love that Travis has given me, you know, so much open space, and he doesn't constrain the creativity. So
mm-hmm.
It's nice, you know, working with all of the editors. You know, they know what my strong suits are. And that I'm rather quick with getting them, you know, full covers. But I do now really enjoy doing both the art and the design. I was very reticent to do so at the beginning because I'm not sure why. I guess I underestimated doing covers and thinking that, you know, my strong point is very much design-oriented, but I have a background in art and I have a background in photography, so there was no reason why I shouldn't be taking that step. So I really do enjoy when I'm given the complete free rein on a cover, whereas, you know, this is the idea of the book, this is sort of what we're thinking, and I'm not, like, put in this box of, you know, it's got to be two figures, one with red hair, one with blonde hair, one's holding a knife, you know?
Mm-hmm. So if you could do anything in the world, like if you could do anything in the world, what would you do as a career? What was your original dream, I guess, your deep down dream?
Honestly, my original dream was always to be an artist. The only other thing that was ever huge to me had everything to do with animals. I'm a big animal person, and even with an artistic career, you know, even where I'm at this point in my life, I would open a nonprofit rescue to rescue all sorts of animals.
That's incredible.
Thanks.
So, artist. I mean, that's a pretty broad term. Would you be a painter? Did you want to be, like, a graphic designer? Did you want to be watercolors or oil paints? Or did you want to be the next Picasso? You want everybody to know your name.
When I was a kid, I just wanted to be an illustrator and an animator. It morphed into film because I'm a huge film buff and a huge Star Wars fan. And so that was what pretty much made me decide that I was going to officially go to art school, because I wanted to use my artistic, you know, expertise in making movies. And it's throughout the process that you go through, that sort of changed, even though I do have a degree in film and video.
Oh.
Yeah, my actual degree is in film and video and photography.
Awesome. So did you ever think about being a photographer for, like, National Geographic and going and taking photographs of animals?
I don't know that I would say that I thought about wanting that to be my career path, no. While yes, I think it would be amazing to travel about the world and photograph animals, there's also there's a patience behind wildlife photography that I don't possess.
Oh. You couldn't sit in the bushes for 3 days and wait for a cheetah to walk by or something?
No, I have a pretty good range of ADD qualities, and one of those is, it would never happen.
Well, have you thought about volunteering at your local animal shelter to photograph the animals up for adoption?
Yeah, I actually do that.
Oh, awesome.
It's actually it's the third part of my duties is I do work with a local animal rescue, and I did their logo work. I come in and I photograph all of their available animals, and I do design work to put their name and information about them on the images, and I prepare all of their flyers for all of their events, and I pretty much do everything that I can for them creatively.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
So we have a guest caller. Hello.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Cool. My name is Joshua Doan. I'm actually an author at Zarmai. I was calling because I got a couple of different questions for you. The first one was, do you like more or less description when it comes to the creative for a cover?
Less description, I think. I think helps because it allows the creativity to start at the beginning. When there's too much description, it puts everything in these tight, rigid boxes. And then the actual creativity from the artist or the designer can sometimes be completely shut down at that moment. There are certainly artists out there who prefer, like, give me, you know, the size of the spaceship, give me, you know, the height, everything. But I think that in that realm, I work better when I'm given less tight constraints. And then, you know, I can make a concept, and from that concept, we can build step by step.
Yeah, I actually kind of agree, because from the author's perspective, I find the more the more description, the more verbiage I use to describe a cover, the more likely the artist is going to latch onto one part of what I say that wasn't what I intended at all.
Right,
that wasn't
right.
supposed to be the main part, and they, you know, and because of that, the thing that was really important is missed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you ever actually have long conversations with the authors about the story, or read the book beforehand to get kind of prepped so that you get a feel for the universe in which you're creating the cover for?
Typically, no. Usually the art and the design aspect has started so early in the process that, you know, the author could still be making major changes, editors could be still making major changes. I don't think I would be against knowing a lot more about the story. As I was talking about earlier, Emma Jansson's most recent novel, Discovering Sanity, I knew really intimate details about the book, and I think it certainly made the concepts for that, because I did multiple concepts, come out so much more strongly.
That makes sense. So you would prefer to be able to actually read the full manuscript before making the cover, if you have the opportunity to?
If I had the opportunity, I don't know if I'd want to read the entire manuscript for the fact that I don't want, you know, there may be too much there. I think that, you know, the long synopsis that authors typically write up, you know, that give, you know, maybe it's, you know, two or four pages of the main points, and even, you know, these are key moments in the book, I think would be helpful. If I read every manuscript for every book I do, I probably wouldn't be able to sleep.
Too much reading, not enough time.
Yes, and I like to read for pleasure as well.
What about just reading the part of the story that the cover is supposed to be focusing on?
Certainly.
I mean, I figure as an author, I wouldn't understand why any artist wouldn't actually read, if it's actually a part of the story, wouldn't actually read that part.
Right.
So moving to something you said a little earlier, you mentioned that your degree is actually in animation.
It's in film and video.
Film and video, and you do animation.
I have done, yes.
You have done animation, so worked on...
It's been quite a while, but yes.
So what sort of production was it? Was it something like Legend of Korra, you know, Cartoon Network, that type of stuff?
No, it was actually, upon graduating from college, I had the opportunity to take a job in animation that I didn't feel it was best suited for where I was headed. So the animation work that I did do was solely my 4 years in college.
Oh, okay. So you don't actually want to do that with your career. You don't want to go into animation.
No. Graphic design and photography is pretty much where I want to be and where I'm the most comfortable.
Graphic design. So you'd rather be putting out layouts or something like that?
Well, I do the majority of the layouts for all of the covers. So I do all the design of the covers, but I also do the art. But I do magazine ads and things like that as well.
That's cool.
I'm technically a print designer.
Okay. Do you work for a lot of different publishers?
No. Nope. You guys aren't. They're my only one.
Okay. What makes a project enjoyable? What point do you step back from a project and say, I liked that one or didn't like that one?
I don't know if there's necessarily a single point. I think just when I hit the point where I've realized, you know, if it's a collaboration between another artist and my doing the design, I think the point when I realized that they mesh and fit together, I think is the best on that. Now, when I'm doing both art and design, hitting that happy point is much harder.
Yeah. Do you have any funny horror stories about projects gone wrong?
I probably have more horror stories about projects going wrong than we have time.
I'm sure listeners would like one or two of them.
You know, I could say one of the best thus far at Dharma would be when you're not getting a whole lot of information on the book, but the information that you do comes off as a genre that is entirely different than the genre it actually is. So all of a sudden you've created the coolest horror/thriller cover, and you find out that it's actually like a coming-of-age drama, or, you know, coming-of-age drama. And the author was completely horrified by the cover that you sent, and you're like, I don't understand. And then you get, like, the rest of the story about what the book is actually about, and you're like, oh, well, that makes sense. Oops.
Yeah. The first cover I was given when I worked it, and when I brought my books to Zarma, I specifically in the creative said that I didn't want the 1960s look of the cover, and I've never seen a more 1960s cover than the one they gave me first. Fortunately, they were able to go back and get it changed.
Yeah, they're fun like that. That is true.
So actually the other questions I had were based more off, you know, the creative and animating side of things, because that's something I have a lot of interest in, because my writing style lends itself to format really easily. So I've always had interest in getting an anime running based off of a couple of my stories. One of whom was a series of short stories that I wrote as episodes, kind of, you know, the stories themselves don't know whether they're a TV show or books, but they're kind of somewhere in between. And so I was curious to know how many people you would need, what sort of resources it would take to start an animation project.
For me, it would take a couple of phone calls, and I could have you in touch with people. I, on the other hand, wouldn't touch it. There is so much work and tediousness involved with animation that, and that was literally, you know, I was, you know, minutes away from working for a major company doing animation, and I said, nope, it's just not where my heart is. There's just too much in it.
Yeah, I can understand that. I mean, if it takes a lot of work and it's not your passion, you can burn out real fast.
Well, there's also the aspect of being a control freak, and you can't really be a control freak when it comes to animation. It's for a bigger thing, you know, it's 45 to 100 people working on one project.
Yeah.
You know, and so you're relying on the fact that, you know, your drawings are being colored by someone else. Your drawings are being being inked by someone else. Somebody else is doing the, you know, each step. And where I said that, you know, the happiest part I think of my job with Zarme is when I'm doing a complete cover, both art and design. Mm. It all lends to the fact that I'm completely a control freak when it comes to my creative process.
Yeah,
I have a strange
advantage in that category. Oh, go ahead.
There's a delay. It's okay. I have a question about animation. Does an animation realistically take such a long time and an incredible amount of work that it's, like, mind-blowing?
Certainly.
Like, can you tell us, like how long and how many people does it take to make, like, just one 30-minute cartoon? Just put it into perspective.
Well, I can tell you only from my perspective while working in college on small projects, and I'm talking small projects that ranged, you know, from 30 seconds to 2 minutes can be months of work.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, every individual motion has to be captured in order to make it work.
That's why those old anime were always, you know, sliding the cell across the page rather than trying to illustrate every single move.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, and when I was doing it, I was doing, you know, it was basic, you know, animation 1 through 4 in college, you know, different classes, you know, and it's all, you know, on a light board, drawing by drawing, you know, and now certainly there's still that drawing aspect, but, you know, they're drawing with Wacoms and the computer, and certainly the process has sped up. I mean, I was in college, you know, in the late 90s, so it's an entirely different process now than what it was then.
Cool. Have you ever worked with people who did comics?
Certainly.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How did you like that?
I don't dislike it. It's still the same sort of concept as cover design when it comes down to it. There's just a lot more words to it. I wouldn't say it's my cup of tea, but I certainly have colleagues who love it, and it's the only thing they want to do.
That makes sense. I mean, I've seen a couple of artists who got stuck in a rut there, and they were working on a project that wasn't bringing in money, but they couldn't get themselves to do anything else.
Right. That happens a lot with comic book artists.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So we do have another caller on the line. Hello, caller.
Hello. Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah. Dan.
Yes.
Hey, this is Tom Julian. I'm another Zarme author and calling in to say hi. I was struck, and I love I'm a gigantic fan of your covers. I'm like such a fanboy, so just wanted to throw
that
out there. Yeah. One of my favorite covers of yours is such a subtle cover. The one when Latin lost its relevance.
Oh, yeah.
I absolutely love that cover. It's just such a you know, subtle sort of you know, New Englandy type of approach to showing off a cover. I just think it's wonderful. How did the process work with that one? I just think it's so almost magical. I just wanted to ask you about it.
Thanks. I will say now that is a cover that I only did the design for. The background art was provided for that. That was, you know, when I get art, it always takes me, you know, a good, I don't know, 6 to 12 hours to really digest the art and get a feel for it. That was one of the ones that it honestly didn't take that long. I don't know what it was about the art in that cover. Simplistic, but I'm trying to think of the artist's name at the moment. Marvin Herbring.
It's just really nice, and I think it's simple and concise.
Yeah, it's soft and it's simple, and you know, the way the design just came together on that, because I mean, when you consider the subject matter, I mean, there was nothing to use but, you know, a good serif font that's strong, you know, and it all just came together. And like I said, you know, earlier, I mean, sometimes it really just depends on the art that I get, that, you know, how they come together.
Oh. Well, and it doesn't matter. You know, you made it beautiful, which is just
right. Thank you.
Amazing.
I'm glad that you like that.
Yeah, I'm a big fanboy. But one of the other things you mentioned to me, I'm also a giant fanboy of Ralph McQuarrie, who did all those illustrations mm-hmm. of Star Wars. You said you were a Star Wars freak.
Absolutely.
Looking at that, like, you know, how would you, what kind of influence have you taken from him as far as your work's concerned?
It's hard to say.
or everything.
You know, right, yeah, he has a freeness, which I think is really nice. I don't think he's ever, you know, there's fluidness, I guess I'd even go with. You know, and it's just anything from you know, even that time period, you know, it was always, they knew their craft, I think, is the biggest thing. You know, it doesn't happen as often that way.
What amazes me about that is that so much of what he did just kind of speculatively actually shows
mm-hmm.
up in the movie looking very, very similar to it. And it makes me think, like, you know, if Star Wars had maybe, you know, a less talented designer, it could have been in a less talented special effects team, or, you know, they didn't have the John Williams score, you know, it could have been just a completely forgettable sci-fi schlock movie. But, you know,
sure.
The artwork really makes it come together, because I was looking at a pie chart the other day, and on this pie chart it says of people that purchase books, the influence, 25% of them were influenced by the cover, and there was like 15% by the blur, blah, 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 you know, 30% by reviews, but 25% of people decide to buy a book, they're judging it literally by its cover. So, I mean, what you guys are doing is just so, like, it's so critical to authors to get it out. I mean, I love your work. I love the subtlety
Thank
to
you.
It.
Thank you. And I'll say, even before doing covers, I mean, I really always did want to design covers. And it's funny, because I will be that person in a bookstore, and I'll completely bypass a cover that is designed very poorly. I don't even care what it's about. I won't read the back. I won't give it the second look. But covers that are just flawlessly designed, like, I've got to have them.
Well, it's, you know, you're in a visual storytelling mode. You know,
mm-hmm.
we write books, and the front of it has to be summarized. The whole book, the whole 309-page book, has to be summarized by somebody reading, you know, the blurb and the summary, and then coming up with something magical. So it's almost like we just throw a bunch of vegetables at you and expect a beautiful casserole to come back. So it's pretty amazing that, you know, the artwork that I see, the big giant cover reveal from 2 weeks ago was just like shocking, you know, seeing all those come up. Like, day by day, like, they're all gorgeous, you know?
And that was, that was a crazy week for me.
I bet. Yeah, my book is, like, probably the least subtle book that we're putting out right now. But Fiona did my book, so my
mm-hmm.
cover is Timberwolf. But,
And I was actually discussing with Travis that is by far my favorite cover that I've seen so far.
Cool.
I absolutely love that cover.
Yeah, because I kind of, like, when, you know, it's kind of like when you see your baby for the first time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the adage that there's no such thing as an ugly baby, but we all know, you know, those friends of ours that have ugly babies. Yeah. There are ugly babies. So to see your baby and be like, oh my God, my baby's so beautiful. Everyone look at my baby. Look at it. It's gorgeous. That's what every author wants when they meet
mm-hmm.
their cover for the first time. And so, I don't know. I feel like I'm like roasting you and giving you like, you know, like, hey, everyone, Star is amazing. But no, what you guys do is
that's
again,
nice every once in a while. I won't lie.
Yeah, to get the you know, to see it happen and see it get rolled out is really exceptional.
It's a fun process.
So tell me, what are the fun things you do while you write? While you design? Do you listen to music? Do you, you know, drink a glass of wine? What's the process like, you know, on those ancillary things?
It's either music or movies. I have that lovely dual screen set up, so I will, it typically, if I'm not listening to music, I've got a movie on the left screen and I'm working on the right screen.
That's pretty cool. Do your movies sync up with the genre of what you're doing, or do you, like, you know, you might be watching like an old, like Casablanca and doing a zombie cover or something?
You know, that can happen. That can certainly happen. I will say that I have comfort movies, especially when, you know, I'm having a tough time designing something that I don't know if it's just the set. It's just the sound of the particular movies that helped me through.
That is so funny. That's exactly, I mean, as a writer, I have those things, those times when I want something, you know, I'd listen to car crashes or whatever it may be. But then there's those other times where I want to hear Octung Baby, you know, beginning to end or something, like, you know, it's because I want to know where every beat is so I can write this thing. And other times, I'm like, I want to, like, I have, my character's a very bull in a china chop shop guy, so I'll be like, you know what, I'm just going to throw on the hip-hop channel on Pandora, whenever comes on, you know, and it's going to give me my energy, so.
Yeah, I'm big with, I'm either on Pandora or Spotify, and if I'm having a seriously tough time designing a cover, I will be completely honest, it's one of the three Lord of the Rings that is on. It's like my calming, get your crap together, get your head in the right spot.
I have two things I listen to or watch. One is a podcast, a video cast called The Catering Show, which are these two Australian comedians. And the other, if I'm really like out of it, I'll watch Oh Brother, Where Art Thou by the Coen brothers. That film with that has the beautiful, that's got a wonderful design to it.
It does.
It's almost like it's filmed in like a sepia tone.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's got an excellent soundtrack as well.
Yes, that highly influenced my work, that type of music. Wonderful bluegrassy soundtrack. So what are you working on now? Is there anything you can tease us as to what, you know, you don't have to tell us the name of the book, but, you know, anything you can tease us without giving away the show?
Well, we have currently in the process of working on the design that is the sequel to Gateway.
Ooh.
I'm pretty excited about that. And another that I'm super excited about, and it is actually the coolest piece of art that I have received in my year and a half at Zarme. So I am extremely, extremely excited to design it. It is a
whatever it may be.
Yeah, it's a very it's a very futuristic, gothic, almost steampunky, but it's more like gothic punk. It's pretty amazing.
Gothic punk.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome. So cool. I have no further questions, Your Honor.
Thanks.
Alicia,
thank you, Tom, for
Alicia
calling
knows.
In.
I can get wacky if you like, but I don't wish to dominate the conversation. I hand over the conch shell.
Okay. Thank you.
Have a great night. It was really great to meet you, Star.
Thanks, you too.
Bye.
So, I have a question. Have you ever finished a cover, like completely finished it, looked at it, and been like, holy crap, I want to read this book?
Yes, I actually have. And I actually have a small list going of one. Well, and everybody's like, well, shouldn't you buy every single cover that you've done? And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I should. Like, should I? But is it, and I've thought, like, is it, like, egotistical to have, like, a shelf, like, separate from everything else that's just my covers?
That's like,
I don't know.
Me, that's like, but that's like, is it egotistical for me to have all my books?
I guess it's that aspect. Like, I feel like, I mean, certainly I put a lot into each cover or each book,
mm-hmm.
but, like, do I really, I mean, I don't put in 25% of what you guys put in to write it. I mean, it's a couple-year process to write a book. I'm spending a couple of weeks or a couple of months on each one, you know. So do I think, I mean, you're, like, pouring out your heart in a book. So I think certainly you should own your own books. But, like, I don't know. Like, I think I probably will, and they'll all think I'm crazy. I'm going to be like, I need to order these 78 books. And they'll be like, what?
Maybe you should start now, so then
right,
order
yeah.
one every week.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Truly coming to the end of the show. It's awesome that we got some callers.
Yeah.
I was kind of worried when Eleanor canceled that we would end up cutting it short, but we're almost an hour in. It's amazing. So is there, I meant to ask this much earlier, do you do freelance work since you work from home?
I do. I do a lot. I mean, and that's kind of an understatement in all honesty. I think in general, most of the editors and Travis are concerned that I'm going to burn out because I do so much, but it's sort of that concept, you know, as a writer, like it's your life force. So
mm-hmm.
you just,
so
you know,
you have,
if I'm not creating, I'm unhappy. So,
mm-hmm. Side or anything for any of our listeners to look you up?
Certainly. It's a starfoostcreative.com starfoostcreative.com.
Okay, awesome, because I'm probably going to look you up. And so what you said to Joshua about having the hookup to get his books into the hands of, like, anime people, is
mm-hmm.
that true?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, I mean, you know, I'm a person who went to art school, and there's one thing that is very true about art school kids is we're all still in contact. The amount of resources that each and any one of us could pull at a time is kind of mind-boggling. You know, when you realize, you know, you have somebody that you went to school with who is working on, you know, the current, you know, Pixar movie, and somebody who just wrote and done the production of his own movie, and, you know, somebody who's taking photographs of, you know, model photography in New York City. It's kind of crazy, you know, because we're all so interconnected, and, you know, with the age of social media that certainly wasn't there when we graduated high school or college, you know, it's amazing how in touch you can stay with people that you have so many common interests with.
Okay, well, I will be emailing you.
Okay.
And I'm sure many others will after hearing you say that on the radio.
Right? I'll get my friends some extra work, so it should be fun. And, hey, oddly, I already have an email about it. So, thanks, Joshua.
Okay, well, we can wrap up then. It was absolutely wonderful to have you on. I hope we can have you on again.
Sounds good.
If you ever want to call in on any episodes, feel free for more episodes. And I'm sure we'll have, I think we do an artist show. We'll probably do an artist show every 6 months or so on a regular basis. You can come in and stop by and talk more about your freelance work and your anime connections.
That's all anybody's going to want to talk about.
I'm sorry. I love people who know people. So.
Right.
I don't know anybody. But I know I'm
Well, you know, it's the concept.
Away.
People go to typically people go to really large schools, you know, university and stuff like that, and, you know, you end up with, like, a handful of friends, but, you know, art schools are typically very small, you know, like, I think our college graduating class was, like, around 400, and when you're in, like, a media program, which is, you know, photography, film, video, animation, like, the majority of you spend all of your time together for 4 years, so you know each other.
That's wonderful. That's good.
Yeah.
I should go to a small
definitely
school.
Can't complain.
Okay. Well, we got to go.
All right. Well, you have a good night.
You too.
All right.
Okay, folks. Well, that was Star Food. If you'd like to connect with her, it's starfoodcreative.com. And yeah, next week we are going to do a blogger show. That's what's on the schedule. But turns out we're going to be doing another marketing episode. So all you authors out there who handle your own marketing, you can go ahead and listen in because we have some really awesome tips and tricks to share with you. Travis will be there next week with me and possibly some more artists or authors and maybe even a blogger or two if I can convince someone to show up. Of course, you can be there. All you have to do is stop by the Blog Talk Radio page or even just check out the Facebook page, and we will be here next week, same time, same place, to talk marketing. All right, you guys.